You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Let's pray. God, help. It's your word and it's your church, and so I'm asking you, God, to help me preach your word to your church in an authentic and powerful way today in the name of Jesus Christ. And if y'all agree, just say amen. Amen. So Proverbs 13:22, last week Pastor Jed read it. It says that a good man leaves an inheritance. A good man leaves an inheritance. A good woman leaves an inheritance. A good person leaves an inheritance. And legacy literally means leaving something behind for someone who comes after you. You catch that? That's all it is. It's not super complicated. It's legacy is leaving something for someone who comes along after you already got there. So last week we talked about how to leave a legacy as a wife or as a mother, how to leave a legacy as a husband or as a father. Today I want to talk about how to leave a legacy as a church, but not just as a church, but for the church. All right. So how do we leave a legacy as a church? And how do we leave a legacy for the church? Praise God. You want to hear about that today? Because we are all beneficiaries of the legacy of other people, right? Right? Because of others, we're able to sit here today and worship the Lord. Because of others, we're able to grow in our relationship here, be encouraged and inspired on to action in our lives, be encouraged to have great and tremendous faith, to enjoy friendships and live out our salvation with hope and purpose. And that's just here. Not to mention those that sowed into all of our lives before we ever even got here. Right? See, it didn't just start here. Praise God. Maybe for many of you, I know for me, that once I got here, the anointing on this place catapulted what others had started in my life. But people did things and sowed things and gave things in my life before I even got here. See, we're all beneficiaries of what other believers, what other pastors, what other ministers, leaders, givers, prayer warriors have sown into our lives before we ever got here. See, like my pastor, Pastor Warren McMartin, who left a legacy in me. Like my old mentor and friend, Trev, who paid for 2 years of my Bible college expenses in Australia. All my expenses, 2 years worth, he paid for them, my last 2 years. Like another old mentor and friend in my life, Brett, who taught me how to manage my finances because I was so broke that nobody even would take my cash. So I needed some help. And so Brett helped me out. He sowed some legacy into my life. And because of him, I can now drive a decent car. I own a nice home and my finances are in order. Not because of any great big wage or anything like that, but because somebody sowed something into my life and taught me how to manage that area of my life. Like my cousin Michael, who wrote in a journal that he gave me when I left Australia, 3 words. Have ambitious faith. And I have every day ever since. Come on. Like Pastor Josh, who before I ever even got here taught my church planting team how to give generously, how to pray enthusiastically, how to serve God like the hope of the world depends on it because it does, amen. How to pray, how to serve, how to give. He taught them that. Like my good friend Gary, who pastors another church no more than 30 minutes from here, paid for our first 100 chairs in this building 5 years ago. And I want to make sure that we keep sowing so that we can reap and sow some more. It's a beautiful thing about sowing and reaping, isn't it? I want to keep sowing so we can keep reaping, so we can sow some more, so we can reap some more, so we can sow some more, and so the kingdom of God can be just growing in power and authority in Des Moines in Jesus' name. And on it goes. See, we want to steward what people have given us, what God has given us, so that it becomes like a snowballing legacy powered by the unstoppable wonder of God. Amen. Now think about how these people left a legacy in our lives. And I wonder, how can we leave a legacy for those who will come after us? But not just after us, but those who will come and join us. See, so often with legacy, we think that after means in 100 years. Hey, if you turned up today, after is next Sunday. If you came today, after is the person that walks in the door tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. How can we leave a legacy, leave something behind for those who come after us? This isn't in my notes, but I'm thinking about that right now. Imagine what that means when we create an atmosphere of praise and we set a standard for the praise and the worship and the expectation of faithfulness in this building on a Saturday night, and we leave that here for Sunday morning. And we leave that for those people coming after us. That you people are like the worshipers that went in front of the armies in the Old Testament and paved a way for everybody else that was coming afterwards. Come on. That was good. Give me a high five, Pastor Sean. Thank you. Thank you. What kind of values are we modeling for them? What kind of culture will they step into when they walk in after us? All those who have built so far chose something. Listen to this. Listen up. All those who have built so far chose to focus less on how they will be recognized and focus more on how God will be represented by His church. See, we get so confused with legacy that it's all about me and how I will be recognized after I die. See, legacy for a believer in the house of God has got to be all about how God will be represented by the church after we're done. And that's why these people left a legacy, because they valued the now and they built for the future. See, before today, 98% of you had never even heard the name Pastor Josh, because he didn't build something for his own glory. He sowed into something for God's glory, amen. And it cost him. It cost him time. It cost him money. And when he left it behind, it cost him tears. I was speaking to him this week on the phone, and I want to tell you, he's loving his reward. Oh man, seeing what God is doing with what He gave in a few lives back here, He is loving the reward. And so how do we, while honoring the past, value the now and build for the future? Have you ever wondered, when you read a scripture like I read earlier, that a good man leaves an inheritance, how do you reconcile that with Matthew chapter 6, 34? That in the Message, and I don't always read the Message, but sometimes it elaborates very well. I like to tell people whenever I'm about to read something from the Message isn't a Bible, the Message is a commentary. There's nothing wrong with reading a great commentary about the Word of God, amen? And so I want to read you a great commentary from the Message. It says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. See, we've gotten a bit confused and we think, how do we reconcile do not worry about tomorrow with leave an inheritance for your children? How do you reconcile two great and wonderful passages like that? See, the thing is, the scripture's not telling us to ignore the future. That didn't say that, did it? Did it say forget about tomorrow? It didn't say forget about tomorrow. Did it say tomorrow doesn't matter? It didn't say tomorrow doesn't matter. Did it say don't ever think about tomorrow? It did not say don't ever think about tomorrow. Come on, even the ants store up food for the winter. Come on now. It said give your entire attention to what God is doing now. And don't get worked up or stressed out about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with the troubles of tomorrow. You better believe it, amen. See, if we weren't supposed to worry about tomorrow, well then salvation confuses me, because salvation itself is the result of us giving thought to our futures and recognizing that we need God. We need God. The scripture is saying stop stressing about the future. Prepare for it, but trust God that He will take care of you and yours. Amen. Honor the Lord. Have great faith and He will take care of your needs. Do you believe that, church? Come on, honor the Lord. Have great faith. Do you believe He'll take care of your needs? So the best way for us to leave an inheritance for the future of our families and our church seems clear to me is by valuing right now. By valuing the now. Come on, touch your neighbor, say value the now. And creating an environment that encourages kingdom culture, amen. So we can intentionally sow without fear of what might happen. See, the greatest obstacle to future blessing is not future problems, but current fears preventing us from preparing for what God wants to do in the future, both soon and distant. I really believe it with all my heart that one of the greatest obstacles to having a blessed future is that we freak out about what might happen, and so we do nothing right now about what might happen. And we let fear come in and stop us from sowing. So people choose not to sow. They choose not to be generous because they might need that cash later on. Or they choose not to invest in relationships because they've been hurt before. Or pastors don't trust or release people into their God-given callings and anointings because the pastor has been burnt before. Or people don't attend church, or their attendance becomes sporadic because their last church let them down. And so they're not willing to step up this time around. And so we need to give our attention to what God is doing now. You need to give your attention to now if you think you're going to have any kind of future. You think you're going to have any kind of legacy. It's not going to happen over there tomorrow. And as you faithfully serve God now, that creates a culture of legacy that we want to leave for those who we will welcome to come and experience the wonder and joy of what God is doing here. I want to tell you, legacy is happening today. Right now in this room, there's legacy. Come on, touch a neighbor, say, legacy's happening today. Come on, touch your other neighbor, say, you hear that? Come on, legacy is now, church. See, legacy is now. I'll tell you too, legacy is now. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. It's not next month. It's right now. Legacy is now. Legacy is less about the future than it is about now. Legacy can't be created tomorrow. Legacy can only be created today. I was watching a TV show this week where a son made a terrible mistake. And I mean a terrible mistake. His mistake cost someone their life. And the police officer was talking to the father, who said, I had no idea he was going through this. And the father continued and said, I always said that tomorrow I'll hang out with my son, tomorrow I'll teach my son, tomorrow I'll find out what's bothering my son. If you ever want to sow into something exceptional, tomorrow has got to become today. Has to. Has to. Like Pastor Jed said last week, if you want to be an exceptional father, you have to be an exceptional father today. If you want to be an exceptional mother, you have to be an exceptional mother today. Now, when I say exceptional, I don't mean you won't mess up. Come on, I am a father of five kids. That means I mess up five times more than anybody else. Come on. I'm talking about putting the effort in today. Come on, if you want anything exceptional to happen tomorrow, you've got to work today. Praise God. Because legacy is not built tomorrow. It's built today, right now. So as a church, we refuse to live in fear of what tomorrow might bring. Now, we're prepared for it. Oh, Pastor Jesse, oh, it's getting tough on Christians. You better get prepared for the day of church. Shut your mouth. Come on now. I'm not in fear of nothing the devil wants to do. This is the bride of Christ. Have you met Jesus? Someone going to mess with the bride of Christ? Oh, they're going to get a beat down. Come on now. We ain't afraid. We're prepared for the future, and we plan forward. We even budget. Come on now. But we're not in fear or trepidation about tomorrow's maybe, because we live in the certainty that God is with us today, and that God will be with us tomorrow, and that He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. Come on now. Church, when you walked in the door today, and you welcome people with a smile and a how do you do, you're building legacy. That's what y'all say. How do you do, right? Does anybody say that here? Stupid TV tricked me. When you walk in the door with a smile, you say, g'day, mate. When someone walks in the door, you're building legacy. Right here, right now. When you come to church and you worship the Lord with passion and authenticity, without regard for what people think of your hands raised to God, you're building legacy and kingdom culture of worship in this place. As you give your tithes and your offerings when the buckets go by, you're valuing the now and building for the future with your generosity. You're helping to create that kingdom culture of generosity, amen. And when the word is preached and you send out your amens and your encouragements and you come and give the preacher a high five, come on again, Pastor Sean. The kids' pastor's always willing, come on. When you come and give a high five and encouragement and you yell out your amens, you're helping to create that kingdom culture of unity, amen, of agreement, amen, of power and of reconciliation. Praise God. When you serve in our church services, before, after, during, at youth, kids' church, or in big church, you are creating that kingdom culture, that legacy of servanthood in our church. And as you do it here, oh, now, today, one day I'm going to serve. One day doesn't come. One day I'm going to give. I have it all the time. You know what? When I earn this much, I'm going to start giving at church. No, you won't. You'll go buy a Maserati. You know you will. Come on now. One day doesn't come. Come on now. Start giving now. You might end up with a Maserati tomorrow. That's not a promise, FYI. You better come and hear from God about that one, all right? But I know if it's God's plan for your life, it'll happen quicker when you honor God now. Oh, I'm going to serve in kids' church when I start to feel a little bit. No, come on, serve God now. You'll never do it if you're waiting for the perfect time. It's like people who say, I'm going to get my finances in order and then I'm going to have a kid. Let me tell you, that day does not come. Those little suckers take every bit of money you got. And if you've got more, they'll take more. Come on now. You just got to say, I'm going to have a baby, praise God, all right? Come on now, someone say preach. Y'all know tomorrow never comes, don't you? Tomorrow's got to become today. And as you do it, and as you love, and as you serve, and as you bless people here, it blesses everybody in here today. Blesses everybody who'll come tomorrow. Blesses everybody who'll come next weekend, next year, and praise God, it will remain until the day that Jesus Christ returns. Wasn't sure if I'd tell you this story, but somebody made me mad this week. I went to a meeting with people that I thought would be super encouraging. That was a problem. I got to remember, if I want encouragement, I just got to hang out with you all, right? That's where I got to hang out with my people. They're the most encouraging people on the planet, amen? Somebody told me, Jesse, it will all stop one day, what God is doing. I'm like, shut your mouth. Come on, Jesse. I'm talking to you, Jesse. It will all stop. It won't be like this. It will stop one day and it will be over. I'm like, no. It took me back for a second, and I told them, that will not be our story. Yeah, times get tough, but that's assuming that it's not like we haven't paid anything already. Hasn't been easy. We've had big faith, amen. Why is God blessing our church? Big faith, great obedience, and hard work, amen. It's been hard already, and it might be hard again, and it might be harder, but praise God, we will not stop, and He will continue to build and bless His church. Come on. Because we have faith, I told him. We have faith in God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we say, our God will always bless us. He will always be there for us, and we will always believe for God's more, but even if He didn't, we'll not bow down to your lack of faith. Come on, people say some dumb things, don't they? Sometimes you're just walking around and you're like, now I know why Jesus looked at Peter and called him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Right? Come on, who's ever had those kind of experiences? See, because I'm always going to believe for the best. Because I'm building a legacy of ambitious faith in our church. Oh, why would I say, God, maybe we could get halfway up that? Well, come on. Oh, you know what? Have faith that God might half fill this building. No, Just keep filling it and filling it. I don't even have a number, God. I don't have a number of services. I don't have a number. Just keep bringing the people in, God. We want to tell people about the hope and the wonder and the joy that they can find in a friendship with Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, it ain't ambitious if it ain't big. It doesn't take me any faith to believe for 5 people to come here on Sunday. Not even in a snowstorm. Pastor Jed talked briefly about legacy. Sorry, Pastor Jed briefly touched on the legacy that you all, and people on stage, you'll leave for our children when they come to church. When our kids see men and women worshiping on this stage, and people that they look up to, and they want to be like the people that we put up here. They want to be like the people that we put at the doors greeting. They want to be like the people that we put in kids' church serving. My little Zoe looks up at this stage, little Zoe, she's like 2.5. And see, she gets to look up at this stage and see Rachel Ward worshiping. And she sees that strong women can serve God. And she sees that strong women can preach. And that women can worship on the band. And that women can worship lead in our church. So every week in here, right now, Rachel Ward and Leah, they're creating a legacy in my beautiful little girl. And in my sons too, a legacy of worship and authenticity. My sons look up to Josh Cox and see him building a new stage and in a couple of weeks building risers and restrooms. And they see that he's a man using his gift to honor the Lord. They see Josh sowing into their lives and the lives of every other young man or woman that'll walk through the doors of this building. Come on. My kids see you in church, hands raised, worshiping God like King David, not caring what the world thinks of your worship. And they're inspired. My kids are inspired by you. You're leaving a legacy for my kids. Jude asked me a couple of weeks ago about the 40, sorry, week ago, about the 42 souls that were saved 2 weeks ago. And then he asked me about the 22 people who were baptized last week. You know what my sweetheart, a little 9-year-old dude, told me? He said, "Dad, I know it's a lot of work, and I love what you do." Isn't that cool? A sweet little 9-year-old dude, "Dad, I know it's a lot of work." And he was so thrilled by the 22 people that got baptized, because last baptism service, he got baptized. I got to baptize my little dude. And then he asked me about the shorts and the shirts. Because they're real, just practical, these little kids. He goes, "Dad, how can the church afford to buy all those shorts and shirts and then give them all away?" In Scripture, Paul, the Apostle Paul, boasted about people's generosity. And so I got to boast to my boy about your generosity. I got to tell him about you, how hard you work all week and then give 10% of your money so we can see souls saved, so we can hire staff to minister, so we can build a building that represents the excellence of God, so that we can have an atmosphere that people will come in and find a home here, a place where they are free to worship God no matter the condition that they walk through the doors in. Amen. Because you are all legacy builders. And I thank God for all of you. See, He already has the plan. Praise God, God has a plan. Aren't you glad God's got a plan? When stuff starts to go to crap and you're like, "What on earth is going on?" And you're like, "Thank God that God has a plan, all right? That He can work this out and that He takes all my mess and all their mess and He'll find a way to bless me." See, He has a plan. It is to bless us. It is to prosper us, not to harm us, not to hurt us, not to condemn us. Jeremiah 29:11, God said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." By that term welfare, He's not talking about just hand it. He's saying, "I want to bless you. Plans to bless you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to bless the work of your hands." Basically, what God was telling them is, "Trust me, I got this." See, they're in a bit of a messed up time. You got to read the story. And God is saying, "Trust me, I got this. I know what I'm doing, son. I am for you, not against you. I'll always be for you." It's like we can hear Him saying the same thing to us today, can't we? Dude, stop stressing about what might happen tomorrow. Stop freaking out. Sow, and you will reap. Pray, I will hear you. Give, it will be given unto you. Serve, you will be richly rewarded. Worship, and you will know my presence. Praise God. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, Ben, can you come back up here? I'm going to leave you with one last verse. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, and I love how it's worded in the New King James Version. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, God has not given you a spirit of fear. If ever you are full of fear, that is the devil coming to try and hold you back from some opportunity that God is laying in front of you. Amen. It is the devil who brings fear. God has not come to give you a spirit of fear, but he gave you a spirit of power, of love. And we know that scripture says perfect love drives out all fear. And so God has come to give you a spirit of power and of perfect love and of a sound and a peaceful mind, not one that's stressed out about what might happen tomorrow. One of the biggest enemies of legacy is fear. Do not let the uncertainty of tomorrow to cause you to worry and stress out so much that you forget to pay attention to what God is calling you to do today. Because what he's calling you today, what he's calling you to do now, that is what will bless your tomorrow. Fear stops us from investing in tomorrow. Well, no more, devil. Come on, someone say no more. Scripture tells us perfect love drives out all fear. Come on, would you stand up with me? I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now that in the name of Jesus, God's perfect love would cause you to understand his hand of protection on your life and allow you to trust him with all that you have and all that you are in Jesus' name. Because fear stops people from worshiping God. Fear stops people from tithing. Fear stops people from serving. Fear stops people from having authentic relationships. And if we remove people's worship and tithes and serving and authentic relationships, we remove any legacy that our church could ever have. But praise God, the enemy of fear is the perfect love of God. And God is in the room. Because we didn't bow down. Because we started to worship. Because we praised his name. Because he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Let me close with this. Do not be so consumed with the need to leave a legacy or the need to be remembered that you miss out on the one thing that actually creates your legacy, and that's paying attention to the now. What am I saying? I am saying, if you don't get your head out of your own future recognition, you'll never be recognized in future. But if you can get about building God's fame, if you can get about lifting up that name of Jesus, come on. If you can get about preaching that gospel, if you can get about making God famous, he will promote you to places you never thought possible. He will do things in your family and in your business and in your church that will blow your mind. You just got to do it now. You got to stand up and do it now. Praise God. Come on, someone needs to say it. Legacy is now. Come on, someone needs to shout it out. Legacy is now. Come on, you got to do it now, amen. Does anybody want, and it's all right, it's not a trick question. Does anyone want something you do now to last forever? Something you do now to last years, decades? Then you've got to stop worrying about whether it's your name that lasts decades or whether the result of what God called you to do lasts decades. Come on, get our heads out of our future recognition and bring our attention to the fame and the glory of God, and he will do something wonderfully terrific with your family, your business, and your church. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus or you're far away from him, I want to tell you right now, he wants to do something wonderful in your life. See, in our church, we're not concerned with your behavior. You know, we're not asking people to come to Jesus and stop being a sinner. We actually don't really care that much about sin. Because we know the guy that paid the price for it all. We don't really focus that much on sin here because we know the guy who transforms us from sinners to saints. We don't preach great big sermons about what you're doing wrong because we know that the more you spend time with Jesus, the less you'll do wrong. And so tonight, if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, I'm not asking you to stop sinning. I'm not asking you to change anything. I'm not asking you to throw your joint in the trash when you get home. I don't care. What I want you to do is meet Jesus Christ tonight. That's it. Give your life to Jesus. And let God come and touch your heart tonight. Fill your heart with the dreams that He dreamed for you when you were created. Fill your mind and heart with the hope and the wonder of a life lived with your Creator. Fill your heart with the security that comes from knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that your future and your eternity is secure in the hands of Almighty God. Would you let Him take your shame tonight? Would you let Him heal your pain? Would you let Him transform your life into the most perfect picture your life could ever be? If you would, repeat this prayer after me. I'm going to say it one line at a time. I want you to repeat it back to me. Scripture says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you will be saved. It doesn't say anything about anything else. There's no other changes we need you to make. Just believe in your heart and confess with your mouth this prayer that we're going to pray. And Scripture says you will be saved. If you want to give Him your life, repeat after me right now. In fact, every single person in the room will pray so that you will not be alone. Everybody together, come on. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and life everlasting. Please forgive me for the things I've done wrong. You call them sin. And would you please help me to be all that you designed me to be? In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive this new life. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.